Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Amen. This is our big weekend, and we're celebrating 30 years of ministry, 30 years of bringing hope to South Florida, and so we wanted to welcome my dad and mom, the original pastors of the church.
The OGs.
To the stage, so welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great to be here.
We started back in 1995, and you guys pastored from 1995 all the way up to 2012, so that was 17 years. And we started pastoring in 2013, and so that's 12 years for us. And we've been on this beautiful journey, this adventure, and we've seen God do so many things. We wanted to kind of come together and talk about some of those great things that God has done over the years. So today, what really stands out to you the most about what God did as we started Hope?
I'm really trying to go to do very short, short answers because there's a lot of history in 30 years. I think what stood out, and I want to just say this because it's something you told to me in the room before we came out. These are not just stories. This is your DNA. You know the song, "If He Did It For Me"? Okay, so I want you to get that. Can you just raise your hand right now and say, God, everything that you've done through leadership or in our early days is mine too.
Yes, sir.
And if it happened for them, it will happen for me. Say that out loud. If it happened
for them, it will happen for me.
I believe, one, if you're aware, there's something so powerful about being aware to the Holy Spirit. Eddie Polanco starting to call me 2 years before the fact. God was trying to get my and Sonny's heart open to the fact of moving 700 miles away from what we called home. And so I believe that there's this scripture in Revelation, guys. And I know you know it, but I want to just give it to you in this light. It says, this is a message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, nobody can close.
Yes.
What he closes, nobody can open. I know all the things you do. That's God talking to you. And I have opened a door that no one can close. That was, to me, the whole vibe about coming to Miami. God said, take your family on vacation. I said, well, let me get a couple of places to speak in South Florida, and it'll cover the cost. And God said, did I say go speak, or did I say take your family on vacation? And so we went on vacation. To our one friend in South Florida besides Eddie, we went to his house. And what I remember is God saying, do you want to go for a walk? And I did. And God gave the word, and I came back home to the place we were staying, and I said to Sonny and to Joshua, you guys, come in here. I believe God said something to me, and what I want to do is run that by you. And I was crying, and they started crying. Now, you have to understand, for her to move away from her family, that's a huge thing. But her and Joshua immediately, I wasn't going to ask Joan and Esther, because they were probably too into watching cartoons right then to understand the significance of that moment, but it was all a complete door that opened that no man could close. And that's just been the truth for 30 years.
I love these shirts that you've put
yeah,
together.
Yeah, you're still great job.
Wait, you're stealing it from me, because that's what I was going to say. These are the best shirts we've ever had at Hope.
30,
you see
30
the 30
years.
On the back?
Yeah.
I love these. Thank you for
yeah.
Good job.
I see a lot of people wearing shirts about faith over fear these days, right? Uh-huh. Faith over fear. So tell me what it was like overcoming some of the fears or doubts that were present in launching into something new. And I think, you know, this is both a storytelling about what God did, but also for those that God is speaking in their spirit to launch into something new, it's important to know how we overcome the doubts and the fears that are present.
I believe that the opposite of love is not hate. I believe the opposite of love is fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I believe that what we've always done is our confidence is were we obedient to the vision. That's it. Your confidence is, did God say, and were you obedient? Those two things. Did God say, and are you obedient? Because I can promise you, not everybody was incredibly happy about us coming to Miami. And the one pastor that I did know that I felt responsible to submit to, I went to him and I said, I believe God's called Sonny and I to start a church in Miami. And he went, this, God is my witness, this is the graveyard of pastors. The worst crusades in America happened in Miami growing up in the 40s and the 50s. And so I said, he said, no, here's what you need to do. Go to West Palm and start a church. You can have a little church, a lot of tithes. I said, but God didn't say to us to go to West Palm. God said to go to Miami. And I can tell you this, not once, and you lived in the house for a long time, not once did we ever say, have we made a mistake? Not once. You ever heard us say that, Bill? I don't know if we might have jumped the gun a little too soon. Listen, if God said it, don't second guess yourself. If God said it, you stand on it. And the biggest scripture for us all the years, we quoted this to each other.
Stand still and see the glory of God.
Stand still and see the glory. Everybody just say that out loud. Stand still. And so not everybody was excited about it. And we started. And I guess that's enough to answer that question.
So I know there was a lot of serious and beautiful memories of Hope, but I wanted to talk about some of the funny memories that we've had over the years, because you can learn from a lot of different things.
Yes, you can.
One of the funniest memories that I have was I was the first church sound man.
Yes,
and
you were.
I can remember crawling through the ceiling with cables in I think it was the second church. We had to do a bunch of wiring, just like I don't know what we were thinking of. You weren't involved in that project. It was a project that a project of my youth.
Right.
I'd say that I was crawling through the ceiling with cabling, and that was a funny thing. I think another funny thing for me was. When we were busing in a lot of kids from difficult neighborhoods,
yes.
it felt like there was a few Fridays in a row we were breaking up fights in the parking lot.
That's true.
And there was some very, very eventful youth nights.
Well, I wanted everybody to know we were in the community, so the first Christmas.
This was my favorite story. So the first Christmas, he decides that we're going to do a living manger. We moved in June. This is the first Christmas. So we're on 441, and we get the whole living, the cows, the sheep, everything we had a Mary, we had a Joseph, and Esther was four, and she was the baby angel. And she's standing there, and we're out there for hours, and it's cool. It's not cold, but it's cool.
Yeah,
it was pretty cool. And so we're out there, and she rolls her eyes up at her daddy, and she goes, "Daddy, I got a pee-pee." And she had layers of leotards and this and all this. And he picks her up like this and runs across a whole acre into the church. And then he runs back holding her out like.
And for whatever reason, this started the bathroom humor of Hope. Because we had this huge play at California Club. And we had this donkey that was on stage. You remember that, Bill? That had to be the longest urination in the history of urination.
I have another one.
I just kept going, did you just drink like for 3 days and hold it?
So one play, we had a sheep on the stage.
Yep.
And the sheep started going little pellets. Little pellets.
And I just kept going.
And it kept going through the whole play, dropping a pellet.
Okay. But then we had the wonderful.
And then we had Danny Dodge asleep in a casket, and Dwayne was going to kill his flesh. It was an illustrated sermon. If any of you know.
I didn't really understand how scared people were of caskets and things until we rolled the casket in, and people were freaking out. Of course, it was the week after I'd used a boa constrictor about. You've got to lock in.
It was 2 weeks after
and
he
squeeze, and then it's,
2 weeks it was after he had a pit bull on stage talking about being tenacious and had the pit bull bite a pillow, and then the owner of the pit bull swung the pillow in the air, and he didn't let go. And
it
he,
was three questionable choices in a row. That was sort of much when leadership was up for.
When he
toned down the illustrated sermons a little bit. So tell me about your story.
Okay, it's also kind of related to the bathroom. I don't know why all
of
these are, but this is what I remember. We were at Cooper City High.
Yes,
and it was just before a service. And so the whole pre-service thing is happening. People are greeting each other, getting ready. And suddenly you hear over the music a toilet flush. And it's because one of the praise team members went to the bathroom and they took the mic and set it down. And so, like, you hear. So
and
since
that's
then,
also true.
We have learned not to do that. But it was so funny, that whole moment. But I actually wanted to share another moment. This one's more of a serious thing. And that is that some of the best memories that I've had at Hope have been in the middle of worship, because as a people, as a body, we have worshiped together, and we've gone through different seasons where our worship has gone through different phases, right? We've cried together, we've cried out together, we've mourned together, we've rejoiced together. And seeing people set free, seeing people healed, seeing people have breakthrough, those moments have just been priceless. And I think it's been something that's kind of been with us from day one that we've seen throughout the year. It's been like a mark of the house of God's hand with us, and it's just been so beautiful.
You know, talking about beautiful moments in worship, I can remember so many powerful moments in worship, but one memory in particular that stood out to me is it was Cooper City, when we were in Cooper City, and God healed one of our praise team members of a brain tumor in the middle of worship. They had been struggling. They had gotten a bad report from the doctor. They had scans, whatever, and we were just worshiping, and then we just felt in our spirit to pray over him. And then the report came back that week when he went back for an additional follow-up visit.
Yes.
They could not find the tumor.
Yes.
And it's never come back.
Amen. He
was with us on Friday worshiping. And so I just think there's these beautiful moments that really stand out over the years. And I think it's important for all of us as a church and individually to go back and rehearse the miracles that God has
done.
Because when you're launching into whatever the new thing is, you're stepping into something new, you have to go back and build your faith up for what's to come. And one of the ways that we build our faith up is we go back and we rehearse the miracles that God has done before. And so we see that with the people of God, the children of Israel. They would always, before they would go into, step into a new season, they would rehearse the thing that God, the things that God has done. So what's one of those special moments for you guys that stands out over the years?
I was going down south to meet with Henry Fernandez and Rich Wilkerson and Carlos Malone. And as I was about at 79th Street driving down, I got the phone call that Donnell had been shot picking up kids for the church program. And I just stopped and turned around. And I love what's in the DNA of Hope. When it's crunch time, we step up. We're best when everybody else falls apart. We're the people that you want in your corner. Because that's where you know who's with you or not. And I didn't know what I was going to find. I went into the housing complex where Donnell was raised, where his dad still lived. And he and Taquisha had just got married a year before. And I walked up, and the yellow tarp was already over him, and just his high-top Nikes were white with the red swoosh sticking out. And they said, he's gone. They shot him over a $100 necklace he had on. And I said, God, I knelt down on my knees and said, God, what are you going to do about this? And God said, wrong question. What are you going to do about this? And the Spirit of the Lord came, and I said, well, I just make this declaration. For every one you take from us, we'll take 1,000 from you. Or I think I said 10,000. And it was that week that God gave me the vision of the Revolution Tour. And we went on TBN and did it in front of millions of people. We influenced churches around the globe to start it. And it was the seed that was sown. And the DNA of this house is God has a word. The same God that has a word, has a plan, has a strategy. And God has always been there and given us a strategy.
What would you say about difficult moments? How do you navigate difficult moments and still stay on track with what God has called you to do?
I think understanding that when God gives you something, he provides for you in every sense of the way with it. So that means he'll give you peace and grace to complete it. This like reminds me specifically of a time that I remember I was up to speak on a Sunday, and Ariella had been really sick that particular weekend, and she was real small. And I mean, it was one of those things, you know, if you're a parent, you know, like it's a sleepless night. It's kind of touch and go. You're wondering, like, am I going to need to take them in? Like that sort of thing. And it happened on a Saturday night. So I was preparing. I had prepared, and I remember you had prepared to be the backup in case I had to do something, and you had asked me. And I just felt like a peace in my spirit, like I didn't need, like I wasn't assigned to let it go. So I had just prayed, and that night was a very restless night. And in the morning when I was here, I just felt this peace that God was with me. And in that moment, I remember being in the nursery with her. He spoke to me and he said, I've given you grace and I've given you peace for this moment.
Yeah.
And so that was like something very intimate between me and God that marked me, that reminded me, like, whenever I tell you to do something, I'm going to help you, even if it's difficult. And I think that's something we have to remember. It's something that I remind myself of, when just because we're on this journey of faith, it doesn't make every moment easy. It doesn't mean the path is going to be straight. There are some moments where the road is winding. There's some moments where there's pebbles in the road or something. But God has given and equipped you to be able to overcome that. I think even when the transition was happening of you guys handing us over the church, I was pregnant with Christian.
Right.
Esperanza was about to turn two, and the whole thing happened where you ended up in the hospital. And I remember the 26th of December is her birthday. And we, Joshua and I, went to this place that was like a bounce house, and we were going to celebrate with her. We're sitting in the parking lot. We hadn't gotten out yet. And I just had this, like, it always happens to me where it's like time stands still type of moment. And it was like I felt like it's happening. And God was like, it's going to happen. And we hadn't had the conversation yet.
Right.
But we had been preparing, like, we had a whole year-long plan of a transition, right? It's going to be planned out. It's going to be systematic. We're going to have all our ducks in a row. And it's like God was like, the time is now. And shortly thereafter, we had the conversations, and it was accelerated. And 2 weeks after I had Christian, y'all handed it over. And it's, again, like, it's something, sometimes we can stress over something, and God is saying, I'm with you. Like, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to give you the grace. So I think just remembering, God doesn't leave his children begging for bread. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. So when we can learn to trust in him through all the seasons, the highs and the lows, we can not just survive, but we can overcome.
So how can someone know that God is with them in what they're doing? We've talked about God being with us in this, but, you know, we all have different assignments that God gives us. How can we know that God is with us?
Well, number one, it's a faith walk.
Yes.
It is a faith walk. And we have to know that we know that he's with us. We have to be confident in the fact that he is with us, and when we've heard, to act on it. And, you know, one of the things I heard, and God always speaks to me in threes, he said, I brought you to South Florida to bring hope to the hopeless, but you can't bring hope without faith, hope, and love. They're connected. It's connected, like you have to have faith to move on it, and you have to have the love to cause it to happen, to bring that hope in the middle. And it's connected. It's, you can't just bring hope. You have to bring the trinity of hope. Faith, hope, and love. And I think it's very important that we know when we've heard from God, that's all you need. All you need is a word. You don't have to have any other confirmations. You just know if you've heard, you move on that.
Did I answer that question of what you wanted?
I want to talk about resiliency in a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, we go through difficult seasons sometimes. We go through great seasons sometimes. In whatever God gives us, how do we, what would you give everybody today if we're talking about how to stay resilient in the midst of a journey?
The first year we started Hope, my commitment, Sonny's commitment, the family's commitment, it was to be there every Sunday, because I had traveled and spoke around the world for a few years, and now you either commit to it, you either are committed to your vision or you're not committed to it. Mm-hmm. And so for 10 or 11 months, I was there every Sunday and whatever, and then our great friend Rob Owens called me up and said, Dwayne, could you come out? I need you to speak on a Sunday. And so we worked it out, and the first year we were here. And so I went out there and spoke, and then I get a phone call from Sonny, and she says, Dwayne, are you sitting down? And I said, I can. And she said, the former pastor that owned the facility that was letting us live in his home and his church decided and did it in the service today, took the church back over. We have no place to live and no place to have church. Resiliency. Resiliency is you don't react. Yes. You respond and say, all right, God, what are you doing and what are you saying? Guys, the bigger the problem is, the bigger the miracle's going to be. And so, resilience. I said, baby, don't worry. And they walked her to the office, like we were going to steal the furniture. And anyway, and changed the locks. And he'd had some bad experiences before. Anyway, I helped do his funeral. I'm not going to respond. The bottom line is no place to live, no place to have church. Here's what your DNA is. Within a week, I had a home and a church on the busiest intersection in South Florida. 300,000 cars went in front of our church every day.
And the owner gave us a year free lease.
The owner let us have $100,000 free rent for the first year. Now, we wouldn't have known that had we not had the church taken out from underneath us. Guys, the one thing I learned about being resilient is it's not personal. It's not personal. Quit getting offended. All things work together for our good and those that are called according to his purpose. Yeah.
I think when you get bitter, you don't get better. Some people get locked into, they have a traumatic experience. They have a very difficult thing happen, and they get frozen in time there. And they're not able to move forward because they're holding something in their heart.
What you don't forgive, you become.
Could I jump in on that? This is a personal experience, not a good one, but maybe it'll help some of you. When we first started the church, you know, I'm a mother. So is mother and everybody. And every time somebody would say, oh, well, I'm going to go over here now to this church, it was like you would tear my heart out. And God had to walk me through this very dark place of brokenheartedness to teach me that these are my children. Even if they go to another church, just release them and let him grow them on. And that probably was the greatest lesson that I learned, was to guard my heart and to love those that leave. That's kind of my motto. Just love those that leave. They still love you. They're just going through their path and their process. So that was my hardest lesson, I think, to learn to trust God and trust him with his people.
I think it comes back full circle to this. We have to develop a trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So it's this thought process that even when difficulty comes, difficult circumstances, traumatic events, I'm not going to become bitter. I'm going to get better, and I'm going to trust God with it. I'm going to trust God that he makes things right. I'm going to trust God that he provides. I'm going to trust God that he gives me the instruction to take the next steps that I need. And so I think that's so important in the journey that we've led as a church, but it's also important individually as we make choices to follow the path that God has given us. To trust in the Lord, don't get bitter when difficulty comes, but say, I'm going to continue to just put my trust in God and believe that that everything is going to work for my good. Now, that's what Scripture says. Everything is going to work for our good.
Amen, 100%. And I think, too, remembering that Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 3 that there are different seasons, and something that helps us to be resilient is knowing what season that we're in, because there are seasons where God adds to us. There are seasons where We mourn. There's seasons where we rejoice, right? There's a season for everything. There's a season where he prunes us back. And so some of them are more pleasant than others. But if we can know what season we're in, we're able to be confident in, you know what, this is a pruning season, but I know that God is with me. And that, like you said, the trust thing is so important. And it takes basic things like staying in communion with God. I think two things: staying in communion with God, because that means that you're talking to him, you're communicating with him, you're praying, right? And you've got the word. When you stay with the word, the Holy Spirit reminds you in hard times that he is with you. And the second thing is community. So many people that have been on the journey lose resilience when they disconnect from community. Yes. Because we were never designed to do things by ourselves.
That's right.
So communion with God and community are two things that will help us be resilient in our faith journey.
Amen. I want to pray with everyone that God would develop in us a resiliency. God would develop in us the type of determination that if God said it, then that settles it. If God said it, it's going to work out. If God gives a vision, there's provision there. If God gives a vision, I'm not going to be moved by difficult seasons. I'm not going to be moved by going through difficult moments. And so I want you to pray with me today. God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's here today, God, for the journey of faith that you have them on. God, and for the journey of faith that you have us on as a church family. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have ordered our steps. The steps of righteous people have been ordered by God. We can see in every season that you have been there. Some moments have been great moments. Other moments have been learning moments. But I thank you, God, for every moment that you've used to build us into the people that we are today. God, and I pray today for each and every person that's here, God, that you would give them strength for their journey. Give them wisdom for their journey. Let them hear your voice in every season of their journey. And God, whether they're going through a difficult season or a great season, God, I thank you for your faithfulness. God, we thank you, Lord, that your goodness is chasing after us. Your goodness is chasing after us. Whether we see it or whether we don't, we know, God, that you are good. So I pray that you strengthen and encourage us today. And each person, God, I thank you, Lord, that you would teach us to reflect back. And this week especially, that we would think back of all the things that you've done in our lives personally, all the miracles that you've done in our life personally, and all the miracles that you've done at Hope United over the years. God, and we'll be thankful for it, and we'll, God, use that to elevate our faith for the season to come. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. God bless you. I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.